any man,
and Father, even as we listen to your word, oh, open our eyes, open our heart to understand. Let your word rest on the hearts of everyone here. Let it bring forth fruits worthy of righteousness. Oh, thank you, Father. Glory to your name. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Someone shout glory. You may please be seated. Hallelujah. First of all, I want to start by appreciating our lead steward, Pastor David Egenrebo, for this privilege and the opportunity to bring God's word to you. Thank you so much, sir. And also, Pastor, had to be away today. He had to be unavoidably absent. He had some ministry duties in our Lagos churches. So he traveled to Lagos just yesterday to attend to some of those things. But he's here with us in spirit. Praise God. I want to start by doing a brief recap of the things we've been talking about. So, of course, you know that this month we've been talking about a series titled My God and My Gold, right? I'm talking about God's perspective on the gospel, money and materialism and prosperity. And last week we touched on the introduction, My God and My Gold, right? And we said a couple of things, but some key points while I rush. We said money is nothing more than a pledge of assets, right? It is a means of payment. And it is not wealth in itself, but it represents wealth, right? And we said that the Bible spoke a lot about money. In fact, the Bible spoke a lot about money, and he spoke more about money than on heaven and hell. The Bible spoke more about money than on faith. In fact, there are 2,350 verses on money. That tells you that the Bible emphasizes it. And if the Bible did emphasize it, it's because there is a way that God wants you to see money and material possessions. Praise God. And that is why we are going through this subject. Because money is actually an index of a person's character. Money can tell us who you are. The way you handle money can tell us who you are. And we took our anchor text from Matthew chapter 6, from verse 19. Matthew 6:19, it says, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be." Are you seeing that? So we can know the direction of your heart by where your treasure is. We can know what you truly esteem and worship by how you treat money. Praise God. And we said also that the very first example of faith in Hebrews 11 we see was a man of sacrifice. In Hebrews 11:4. So you cannot claim to have faith in God without sacrifice following. And the reason why Jesus taught on this very emphatically, it's because money is the one thing that can take the place of God in your heart. Let's keep reading. Look at the next verse. It says, "The light of the body is the eye, and if therefore thine eye be sin, good, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Look at verse 24. Can we read verse 24 together? I want to go. You seeing that? You cannot save God and mammon. He says no man can serve two masters. So there are two options: either God and mammon. Mammon. Do you know that he didn't say you cannot serve God and the devil? He said you cannot serve God and mammon. Because, like Pastor explained, many people will not intentionally or directly serve the devil, but once money is involved, they can consider it. Praise God. So that is one thing that has the ability to take the place of God in your heart, in your life. And it's very, very subtle in such a way where, of course, material possessions are important, is good, but it can easily corrupt. So we said money is a good servant, but a very bad slave. Yeah, a very, very bad master, right? And we saw something in Exodus 32 where God gave them possessions, right? God gave them gold. But after a while, they began to worship the gold. And we see that happening today. where God gives people certain things and they now begin to worship those things. And of course, like I said, it's very subtle. You will not directly worship it like they were worshiping the gold. But once you begin to esteem it above God, you are worshiping it. What you worship is whatever you esteem above God in your life. That is what you truly worship. So let me give you a practical example. You were in church. You were always in church every day. Every Wednesday you are in church. Every Sunday you are in church. You didn't have money. You didn't have a job. You were trusting God. God ran out for your boy. And eventually God did something mighty for you. But because of that, you can no longer come to church. Bishop. When they invite you, they'll know I'm very busy. I need to travel out. I need to do this and that. Unconsciously, they are beginning to esteem that thing above God. Praise God. Then on Wednesday, we looked at litmus, the gospel and salvation. And we said that a litmus is a pH indicator to test for acidity or alkalinity. Basically, a litmus is a method to define the fundamental nature or category of something. In O-level chemistry, if you want to know if something is on acid, you put it inside a red litmus paper, right? Or blue, I remember. And it will change color. That's how you know if it's an acid. Now, we also said that money also, how you treat money and your response to money is also a litmus test for the state of your heart. Praise God. So money reveals the character of your heart. It doesn't necessarily change. Have you heard that statement that money changes people? Maybe somebody began to make money and say he has changed and money has changed him. But that's not necessarily true. Money doesn't really change people. Money only reveals the state of your heart. Whoever you are right now will be amplified when you have money. I said something that was very, very true. He said many people's piety is because they are broke. There are some kind of sin that you cannot commit because you don't have the money to do it. I remember a friend of mine one time like that. He's a serious Christian now, but back then, and he was narrating to me how he thanked God that he did not have money back then. Because many things that he wanted to do, he could not do it. He was very broke. He didn't have money to book a room to go and do anything. He was staying with like 5 people in the same room. So you cannot bring anybody to your house. And that was the reason why. Not until he changed. If he had remained like that, and money entered his hand, that same person you thought was a holy person, you will now see, the money changed. No, the money did not change him. It only revealed what had been in his heart. He was not waiting for the opportunity to unleash. And money gave him that opportunity. So we looked at a couple of texts. Because of time, I'll just touch on one. We looked at Matthew 19, from verse 22. This was the story about Jesus and a rich young ruler from verse 16. Matthew 19, 16. I'll read very fast. Behold, one man came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Look at what Jesus said to him. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Look at his response. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What is happening here? Jesus Christ was trying to show him the state of his heart. Now, when he says you have to go and sell everything that you have and come and follow me, he was not trying to say that that is the requirement to make heaven, that you must sell everything you have before you can come to him, because that was not what he was teaching. If that was the requirement to be saved, you'd have been preaching that. For you to be saved, you must sell everything you have. But that was not the message of the gospel. But he said that to show him the state of his heart. Because he now revealed to him that he was not willing to part away with money for eternal life. Even though he wanted eternal life. He claimed that he wanted it. But now when God now showed him, or Jesus showed him, that this thing is more important to you than the eternal life. And look at the next verse. After he went away, verse 23, Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of God. Wow. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You see, when I first heard this verse, I was very shocked and very scared. Because I was like, God, I want to be rich. Are you saying that I cannot enter the kingdom of heaven because I'm rich? But that was not what Jesus was trying to say. And he explained it better in another rendition. Look at Mark 10. Mark 10, verse, I think it's 26, 27. I'm not doing this recap. I know that most of us were not here on Wednesday, but please go back to the teaching. Trust me, it's very, very important, very powerful. It will bless you. Look at verse 24 or verse 23. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Verse 24. And the disciples were astonished at his word. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Are you seeing that now? He gives like a better distinction. The problem is not the riches. The problem is the trust in the riches. What are you putting your faith in? Because if you put your faith in God and in Jesus Christ and his finished work, you will enter into the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible teaches in Romans 10, verse 8 to 10. But many people, especially when they have material possession, it is very easy to trust in the riches. Praise God. So that was what Jesus Christ was explaining. Like I said, please go back to the teaching because we don't have time. We also looked at Acts 19, Acts chapter 2. But today we are going to be looking at another topic. We titled this Midas, Dismantling Mammon. Glory! Midas, Dismantling Mammon. Now, what do we mean by Midas? I know when you guys saw that, you were wondering. How many of us have heard the story about Midas? Who knows the story? Okay, some of you know the story. But let me just give you like a very quick storytelling time. So, in Greek mythology, there's Greek mythology. I don't know if it was true, but you know what Greek mythology is? All the stories about Zeus and Hercules, those things that we learned when we were small, right? There was also a story about a king, a certain king named Midas. His name was King Midas. And he did something for the gods. And the gods were very grateful. And he gained favor with them. And he went to ask the gods to give him a power. And he asked, what do you want? He said he wants the ability to turn anything he touches into gold. And the God looked at him and said, are you sure you want this? He said, yes, that's what I want. He said, okay, I'll give it to you. So the God gave him the powers and he tested it out. He touched his apple. He turned it into gold. Like, wow. He touched, I think, one of the pillars in his palace. He turned it into gold. He was like, I'm rich now. Things are set. And he was enjoying life. But little did he know that he came with his own problems. They brought food for him to eat. He touched the food to eat. It turned to gold. They gave him water to drink. As he held the cup, the whole cup with the water that turned into gold, he could no longer eat anything. He could not even wear clothes because to put the cloth, when the cloth touches him, it has turned to gold. So he now became a slave to that power. And the worst of it all was when his own daughter now came to him to come and embrace him. And as he hugged her, she turned to gold. And he said, I don't want this. He ran back to meet the gods to beg, say, please, take away this thing that I asked of you. And the gods took it away. But that story is a story on greed. You see, many people live their lives today like that. We just want money. We want material possession without even knowing the cost. In fact, some people don't even care what the cost is. Some people are willing to pay whatever price there is. And that is the spirit of Mammon. Hallelujah. So what is Mammon? Mammon is the spiritual name for the spirit that competes with God for devotion through material wealth, riches, and money. I'll take that again. Mammon is the spiritual name of the spirit that competes with God for devotion through material wealth, riches, and money. So Mammon manifests itself through the love of money and greed. Basically, Mammon is the spirit that fuels greed. I'll take it one last time for those of you who are writing it. Mammon is the spiritual name for the spirit that competes with God for devotion through material wealth, riches, and money. Rather, it manifests itself through the love of money and greed. Last week we mentioned, just like we just said now, that Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. And he gave that distinction because those are the two things that can compete for your heart. Either money or mammon. Because God and mammon are competing for the same thing, which is your heart and the loyalty of your heart. Praise God. So, mammon is a competitor to God's place in your heart. You remember Exodus 32, like we read last week, where God gave them material possessions. God gave them gold. And after a while, they were waiting for Moses to come down from the temple, from the top of the mountain, and he did not come. And he said, look, this Moses, read Exodus 32, please find it for us. They said, look, come and make us a god. As for this Moses, we don't know what has happened to him. That's what happened when it seems like God is slow. And you are trying to look for God and you've not found God. I say, look, while we are waiting for God, let's leave God first. Let us take the one that we are seeing now. And he said, make us a god. Look at it here. No, go to the previous verse. Go to verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up! Imagine, they are telling Moses, come on, get up! Make us gods, we shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of Egypt, we won't know what has become of him. Are you seeing that? So the same God that brought them out through Moses, they were waiting for him, they could not find him. They were tired of being in the wilderness. They said, look, we need to move forward. Oh yeah, come and make us a god. Look at the next verse. And the Lord said, break off the golden earring which are in your ears and the wife of your sons and daughters and bring them to me. Next verse. And all the people break off their golden earring which are in their ears and brought them unto him. Verse 4. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, this be thy God, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. This thing never ever makes sense to me. You just made this thing with your own hand. No. I said, this is the God that brought you out of Egypt. How now? That tells you, that's because mammon is a spirit. It is not logical. For example, it is not logical to worship the creation and neglect the creator. Imagine I give you a phone now, the latest iPhone now. And you now start to worship the iPhone, saying that this iPhone is everything to me. Meanwhile, the person who gave it to you, you've neglected the person. Doesn't make sense? No, but that's what mammon is. Mammon is the spirit behind it that makes you worship that thing, which is what they were basically doing. Praise God. Now, how do you know that the person is under the spirit of mammon? Number one, he's ready to do anything to make money. This is strong. He is ready to do anything to make money. Have you seen people that would tell you like things like they must make money at all costs? Doesn't matter what the price is, they are willing to pay it. They can lie, they can cheat, they can manipulate, they can steal. As long as their money is going to come, they are willing to do it. Proverbs 28 verse 20. Proverbs 28 20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Are you seeing that? He that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Many times the reason why people fall into certain vices is because they want to get rich quick. And they are not willing to go through the process. Anything that they can do to just get that money, they will do it. And that's how you know that somebody is being overcome with the spirit of mammon. Praise God. Number two, he draws his self-worth from money. He draws his self-worth from money. Many people today measure their value by their bank accounts, or by their salary, or by their possessions. There are people who, you can know their mood from the way their bank account is. There's a way their face will be, you know, this guy doesn't have more money. It's just true. There's a way they will come out so lively, something has entered his account, that's why he's acting like this. And check, you are very, very correct. Why? Because they are measuring their self-worth from the money that they have. Look at Luke 12. I love how Jesus speak. Luke 12 verse 15. Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. A man's life consisted not of the things which he possesses. So your life is not determined by what is in your bank account. As Christians, your life or the work of your life is determined by the price that was paid for you. And what was the price that was paid for you? The blood of Jesus. If I want to determine the value of something, ask how much did you pay for it? How much did you buy it? Because if I want that same thing, I'm going to have to pay the price. So now, what is the value of your life? What was paid? And that was the most precious thing. The most precious thing ever. The blood of Jesus. So I am more valuable than any other thing. My life is worth more than any other thing. You see, yes sir, say it again. My life is worth more than any other thing. You see, it makes sense now when Jesus says something like, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Because in the eyes of God, your soul is more precious than anything else. If he was willing to die to bring your soul to him, that means it is very, very precious to him. But see, in the world of economy today, we don't see it like that. When we say, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole, if he gains the whole world, it sounds very vague. Let's just say all the money in the Nigerian reserve, for example, how many billion there is. If they ask you, should I give you that money and take your soul, you belong mine, whatever you want, and whatever I want, you will do it. Many people will take that trade, you know. I heard somebody say online, very popular person in a podcast. So there was a boxing match, and it was like, would you fight this person for $200 million? And the first person said no. He said, why me? I'll definitely do it. He said, does that mean that you are selling your soul because you know that this thing is wrong? And the guy said, look, for $200 million, you can have my soul. And that tells you there are a lot of people like that. There are a lot of people that will not even say it vocally, but deep down in their hearts. That's why people do blood money and things like that, because they've sold their soul. But Jesus said that your life does not consist in the abundance of the things which you possess. So as believers, you must have this lens that the value of my life is in the blood of Jesus Christ that was paid for me, not in the money I have in my account. Praise God. Number three, how do you know a person is under the spirit of Mammon? Money and material possessions is his ultimate indicator of virtue, of success, and even spirituality. Money and material possessions is the ultimate indicator of virtue, of success, and even spirituality. You know, there are people that think that the ultimate aim of life, the ultimate goal, is to just make money. And you put them into different kinds of pressures. And in fact, that's why some people come to church, because they want God to do it for them. They want to make money through God. Now, is money important? Yes, it is very important. But is it the most important thing? No. It's very funny how I was in an Uber yesterday. I went to get something for somebody. And on my way back, the Uber guy I was with, we were just talking. And it's funny how we were discussing the sermon for today. He was talking about how he's having to work so hard. He was in the UK at some point. Him and his wife, they have to come back because they're now old. And he was saying how he works so hard. He works morning till night. And both him and his wife have to work, because one person alone cannot work enough to pay the bills. So the both of them have to work so hard. They work morning till night for days. They don't even see their children at all. Sometimes, if it's a very small child, they just keep the child in one, maybe their neighbor's house or something. They didn't know that, because they didn't know that other people were training their children for them. And after they had worked and worked and worked and worked, the man is now in his 50s. He now said that he had realized that money is not everything in life. Oh. Some things are more important than money. And at that age, he's now realizing it. I pray for you, you will not realize that later. Amen. You will not realize it late. While it is true that God prospers, it is not every prosperity that is from God. There are many prosperity that did not come from God. God is good, but not all good coming from God. If you look at Genesis 1, where God told them, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That means in that fruit, there was good there. But he told them not to eat it. Because it is not everything that is in quote good that is for you. Praise God. Number four, because of time, how do you know a person is under the spirit of Mammon? Money is his ultimate goal in life. money is his ultimate goal in life. When a person's ultimate goal, his total desire, everything about his life is to make money, then you know that the spirit of mammon is taking over him. You've seen people that everything they talk about is money. Who has seen people like that? Everything they talk about. In fact, you try and discuss something with them, for somehow, someone, they will navigate the conversation to bring it into money. You tell them, the way this country is, oh, God will help us. But the money, those people, where they embezzle money, if I could just go there now, the kind of money where I go steal. Like, sir, everything is not about money. They tell you that the kind of friend you should keep are the ones that can give money to you. You've heard amen like that. That if you don't have five people that can borrow you one million, then you don't have friends. And things like that are very dangerous. Do you know that? Because it makes you buyable. People can buy you. And it makes you a dangerous person. Makes you a very dangerous person. If everything you have, all the friends you have, you are just looking for people that have money so that you can make friends with them, so that they can give you money, you're a dangerous person. There are people that, when they see how you are committed in church, they cannot understand it. They'll be asking you, that church are going to, are they paying you money there? I've asked that a lot, because they cannot understand how somebody can just be serving God like that. No, it's money. But guess what? That same service to God, if you are putting it in your workplace, is a normal thing for them. Are you now seeing that they esteem money above God? Who understands what I'm trying to say? If a certain kind of service, dedication, devotion can be given to your workplace, which is not a bad thing, but they see it abnormal to give it to God, they esteem money above God. Praise God. And those people, even when they come to church, they just feel like, for you to be coming to church and be serving God like this, that means God must be giving money. So when they come to church, the reason they are in church, and that's sad, there are many people like that, I hope you know that. Many people like that the reason they are in church is for God to do it for them. And they quote verses like Matthew 6:33. They seek ye first the kingdom of God, and every other thing shall be. First of all, he didn't even say every other thing, but they quote every other thing shall be added unto you. So now they are going to church, they are seeking God because they want every other thing to be added unto them. So what are you really seeking? It's those things that you are seeking. You're not using God as a means, as a vehicle to get those things, which is the inverse of that scripture. He's saying seek God first, and the other things that you need will be given to you. Praise God. And the effect of mammon is widespread evil. In fact, when you see people that are like this, if you check their life, if it's not already happening, eventually you begin to see certain vices in their life. 1 Timothy 6:10. Let's read it together. 1 Timothy 6:10. Can we read verse 10? Can we read together? I want to go. Head from the faith and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Are you seeing that? He said the love of money is the root of all evil. Notice he didn't say that money is the root of all evil. No, money is good. Money is important. He said the love of money is the root of all evil. That uncanny love, that uncanny desire to just get money no matter what it is that you're going to have to pay. Why do people do certain vices? Why do people sell fake drugs? Because of money, because of greed. They are willing to let you die just so that they can make money for themselves. Why do people do internet fraud, for example? Because of money, because of greed. They don't care who they are robbing at the other side. As long as it is not them, they are fine. And of course, you will try and explain the way. You will use the different statements. They were taking back what they stole from our great-great-great-grandfather. Who is your great-great-grandfather? But you will look for things to just legalize it, make it sound nice. Praise God. And when you see people like that, you just know that the mammon has eaten them up. Mammon has eaten them up. At the root of every evil we see is greed. Armed robber robbing on the road. They don't mind killing you just so that they can fill their pocket with money. Even people who embezzle money, There are places where they are poor. I was told, I mean, I know somebody who is into politics, and he was telling me how certain budgets that are allocated to a local government, they will write budgets for different things, to do this and that, for schools, all of those things. They will go and do whatever they want with the money and leave the people like that. You see, public schools are deserted. The people, those kids cannot even read and write. That is greed. They don't care about those children. And it's those children that will now grow up to become armed robbers, because they too have to fend for themselves. They too have to eat. And you see how the cycle keeps on repeating itself and again and again. Why? Because of mammon. So this shows you the importance of this topic. And it has to start from us, that we are not giving to mammon. So greed is at the root of all evil. There's something I always say to people that I mentor. That if you are obsessed with making money, you will end up stealing. That's the truth. If all your obsession is to make money at all costs, no matter what, you will end up stealing. But if you are obsessed about service and being valuable, you will end up making money. Because like I said, we said it last week, that money itself is not value. It is a proof of value. It shows that you are valuable. So money was designed to gravitate towards value. And if you have that value, you can exchange it for money. Does that make sense? But we see many people who are not willing to sit down and be valuable. They don't want to learn a skill. They don't want to do a business. They don't want to offer any service. But they just want the money, the money, the money, the money at all costs. Those kind of people are the people that end up doing vices. Praise God. So why is mammon a stronghold on the lives of people? Why is it a stronghold? Number one, money is a necessity. That's the truth. Money is important. And I'll advise you, don't pretend like it's not important. And that is not the aim of this teaching. In fact, the aim of this series is not to downplay the importance of money. No, money is important. But we are saying that money is not the most important thing. There are things that are more important than money. It's like fuel in a car. Fuel is important, right? But if there's only fuel without other things, will the car move? Of course not. Or it's like food to a person. Food is important. You have to eat. But imagine you make your whole life about eating food. that's a useless and a worthless life. And that's how people see money today. Let me just get the money. I always ask. And poor people can't really understand this. And understandably so. What happens after you get all that money that you are looking for? What do you do next? After you've bought the cars, you bought the house. Many people enter. And that is spirit of greed, actually. And that's true. There's a rich fool. I love how the Bible calls him a rich fool. He had the barns, big barns. He said, what will I do? No. Let me tear it down and build more. And you realize you now begin to live an empty life. Because there's no essence to your life. It's just about making money. Your life without purpose is an empty life. That's just the truth. So money is important, but it's not the most important thing. We actually need money for almost everything. From the day you were born, billing came. That's just the truth. Ask those that have kids here. Mr. Mark, are you with me? So from the day you were born, billing, there's need for money. From the food you eat to the school that your children go to, money is important. The Bible even says that money is a defense. Look at Ecclesiastes 7 verse 12. It says, for wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. So money gives security, which is important. In fact, to serve God, you have to have a certain level of comfort. That's just the truth. Everybody who came here by a means of transport. So you pay transport to come here. Even those who did not pay, you wore clothes. And the clothes, you paid for it. If you have not eaten for the past 2 days, I'm very sure you will not be in church today. It's the truth. You go and look for food first. And it's called Maslow's hierarchy of needs. That's how human beings were physiologically designed. So money is important. And you need a level of resources to be comfortable and focused to serve God. And this is why money can easily take the place of God in your heart. Because it is a necessity. Number two, Society has glorified money to astronomical proportions, especially in Nigeria or in Africa. We glorify money in an unhealthy way. People today are celebrated based on their wealth, their luxury, their lifestyle. In fact, some don't even care how you made the money. Once you have the money, they will just salute you. And that's something very funny. Confidence and mine. The place, the estate where we stay now. When we first moved there, we didn't have a car. So we need to book boat to go, like, enter. Once we get to the estate gates, the security, they will stop. You stop, park. Where are you going to? Open your boots. Afterward, they will delay you. They will not allow you to go inside. Once we got the car, as we are driving in, sure, sir. I'm like, the same person, you know, nothing changed about the person. But because they now feel like, this person is a big man. Of course, they will salute. Not because they care about you. Who cares about you? They are hoping that as they salute you like that, you too go just... you go, exactly. And it's very, very sad. There are places you go to that, depending on the kind of car you're driving, they will let you in or not. You know places like that, right? If you're not driving a good car, if you're driving maybe this, like holding this car, you will park outside. I was in a boat one time like that. I went somewhere to go and service my car. So when I drove in, I got to the gate. I just opened the gate. Yeah, look, sir, you're welcome. Where are you going to, sir? I want to sell my car. So, okay, yeah, this way. Just drive straight. And I entered. So of course I had to drop the car there and then book a ride to go. This boat guy, I told him drive in. Because me too, I drove in now. Everything was fine. As he tried to drive in, he saw got parked outside. I had to go outside to go and meet him. When I entered, I was apologizing. Sorry about that. He said, now so then be you say this life I will make money. I must make calm. I said, sir, don't pressure yourself. Calm down. Money is not everything. Say no, money, I must make this money. And unknowingly, society puts pressure on you. Because human beings are emotional beings. I hope you know that. Whether you're a man or a woman, those things touch you. If you are not well trained, they can touch you and say, no, I will show them. But there are people who have made more money now that they are trying to pepper people. In fact, social media is filled with that. They want to pepper, they want to show you that they've made it. Why? Because of the pressure that society has put on us. Number three, why is mammon a stronghold on the lives of people? Painfully, this is also painful. The church may have also propagated the spirit of mammon through the wrong teaching of prosperity and have produced greed and the spirit of materialism. The church may have also propagated the spirit of mammon through the wrong teaching of prosperity, which has produced greed and the spirit of materialism. Notice I said the wrong teaching, because there is the right teaching. I believe, and we believe in this church, that God prospers people, like I'll be explaining. But there's also a wrong teaching on prosperity that puts undue pressure on people. So the materialistic gospel teaches that material possessions is the ultimate symbol of faith in Christ and spirituality. Notice what I called it, the materialistic gospel. I didn't call it the prosperity gospel. Because in a way, like I said, I believe that God prospers people. And I'll be showing you from the Bible. But that is not the essence of spirituality. That is not the essence of serving God. But when you now turn it into materialism, they will teach you that the ultimate proof of your faith is that you have money. There are people who, they were fine. They were content with what they had. They were not doing bad. They were just okay. Until they went to some certain kind of churches. And unneeded pressure came on them. A certain man of God sometimes said that if you are not worthy, it means that there is sin in your life. Do you know how dangerous that is? That your pastor, your man of God, the person you draw spiritual insight from, is telling you that if you are not rich, you are not wealthy, it's because you are a sinner. This, your Christianity, is nonsense. You must go and make that money. You know how that thing can plunge people into all sorts of vices? Because you are serving God faithfully. You are spending more time in church. Unknowing to you that you are spending more time outside trying to make money to prove to God that you are in right standing with him. Exactly, that you are spiritual. Are you seeing that? And that's what the materialistic gospel teaches. But look at James chapter 2 from verse 1. I love how the Bible addresses all of these things. It's like they predicted that many things that we're facing now will be facing. So James 2 from verse 1. He says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Verse 2. You know what? Can we read this in maybe NIV or NLT? So it's very easy for people to actually understand. NLT, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. The next verse. Suppose a man comes to you or comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. Next verse. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and you say, here is a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, hey, you stand there or sit on the floor, go to the back. Look at what he's saying. Look at the next verse. Have you not discriminated among yourself and have become judges with evil thoughts? This is what the Bible teaches. Next verse. Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of this world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? So he's telling you that it's not a function of money, whether you are poor or not. In fact, it's even the poor people that God has chosen to inherit the kingdom. If you notice, I remember Pastor quoted it, where John was asking, he sent his disciples to ask them, I asked Jesus, are you the one that is to come, or do we expect another? What did Jesus say? Go and tell John that the blind is seeing, the deaf hear, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. So that would tell you that being poor has nothing to do with you not being spiritual. Does that make sense? There are places you go to where you don't feel the pressure. I mean, I've seen it before. Some places I enter. It's a church. But you just feel that, these people, I'm not on their level. There's that aura that they give. I was talking to somebody one time years ago, and she was telling me how she stopped going to church. How in that church? I mean, they were doing well. But because, she had to trek to church. Of course, you know where somebody treks? I mean, those who used to stay in Lagos will understand. You trek from Obalende to VI. You will cross the Odmelan Bridge in order to do that. You trek that kind of trek. Of course, when you are sweating, your legs are dirty, they look at her like, look at, please shift. And one time they were entering the elevator because the church is at the top floor. They were entering the elevator. The pastor's wife was in the elevator. And as she entered, the man said, please, you are smelling, get out of here. You know that if me, I started apologizing on her behalf. I'm sorry. Because I don't know how I will feel if the pastor's wife did that to me. That's what the materialistic gospel teaches. That because somebody who does not have money, no shift, you are not spiritual enough. And the Bible clearly warns us ahead of time. Look at 1 Timothy 6 from verse 3. 1 Timothy 6 from verse 3. Quickly. If anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree to sound instruction, we can go back to KJV now, actually. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, next verse, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Verse 5, perverse disputings of men and corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Put it back in NLT so you understand what he really is saying here. No, NLT verse 5. He says, to them, a show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy. So their piety in church, their coming to church, their prayer, their spirituality is just a means to an end. And what is that end? Wealth. They are looking for money. That's why they are in church. He says, from such people, withdraw yourself. Because you are not esteeming God at all. You are esteeming riches far above him. The next verse says, verse 6, he said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. That is the great wealth. Godliness with contentment. That means if you are godly and you are content, you have more wealth in God's eyes than the people who have the money physically but are not spiritual. Does that make sense? And this is a very, very dicey thing, because if you look at that verse, they feel like, they say, supposing that godliness is a form of gain. In a way, there's a little bit of truth to it. And what do I mean? God prospers people. The more you spend time with God, He can give you ideas. Look, this is a story of my own life. God has led me to do things that yielded so much financial blessings. But that is not the essence of spirituality. Oh, God prospers people. Oh. If you look at Abraham, Genesis 24, verse 1, I believe, that says that Abraham was blessed in all things. If you look at Genesis 14, I believe, it said he was rich in cattle. So he was a blessed man. And the Bible lets us know that God, the Lord, had blessed, put it for us, Genesis 24, I think it was verse 1 or verse 2, that the Lord had blessed him in all things. We see that also in the life of, and Abraham was old and was stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Who blessed him here? The Lord. So God blesses people, right? If you look at the life of Joseph also, for example, Genesis 39, the Bible says that he was a prosperous man, and God made his way prosperous, and he had good success. The same thing also with a man called King Uzziah. I think it's 1 Chronicles chapter 26. Or 2 Chronicles 26 from verse 5. 2 Chronicles 26 verse 5. He says, speaking about King Uzziah, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Are you seeing that? As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. If you jump down to verse 15, it says that he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. So God helped him till he became strong and he became famous. So does God help men? Yes. Does he prosper men? Yes. But that is not the essence of your walk with God. And does it also mean that everybody who is wealthy is in the will of God? Absolutely no. Because there are many people who have done evil things to attain wealth. There are even people who don't even believe in God. Yeah, they are wealthy. So I personally do not equate wealth to spirituality. Because God has given us natural principles, like what I just said now, the law of value. If you are valuable, no matter you're a Christian or not, that's the truth. If you are valuable, you would be wealthy. It does not mean that a wealthy person is in the will of God. Does it also mean that those who are not wealthy are not in the will of God? Absolutely not. So for you to say that if you are poor, there is sin in your life, that is a huge atrocity. So what I'm going to say about the missionaries, for example, who came from Europe, they had good blessings going for them, and they left everything, went into the bush to go and preach. Or people who were in the city like this, and God sent them to Jos or to one remote area to go and preach, they will not be rich there. But guess what? They are richer than those who are here. Because in God's eyes, look, as you are winning souls, the value of a soul in God's eye is worth more than any money. Or you look at the story about the Moravian brothers. Back in the days, a city in Moravia, or called Moravia, which is like Czech Republic right now, these people were missionaries, and it said that they sold themselves into slavery so that they can preach the gospel to the slaves there. Hi! When I hear things like that, it touches me. Touches me. So to think that if you are not wealthy, it shows that you are not spiritual, that is a huge lie. To think that if you are not wealthy, it shows that you are not in the will of God, that is a huge lie. Praise God. Materialistic gospel raises people who are self-centered, people who don't love God, and all their service to God is about what He can do for them. That's what the materialistic gospel teaches. And this problem has been in the church for years. It has corrupted people for years. In fact, it started from Acts 8 in the early church. If you read Acts 8:18, there was a man named Simon. when Peter and the apostles went to Samaria, I believe, and they were preaching the gospel. And there was a man named Simon. Say, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Are you seeing that? Look at the next verse. Saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Till today, people are still doing the same thing. I hope you know that. There are churches that they ordain people depending on how much money you can drop. But look at what Peter said. Verse 20. But Peter answered them and said, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Are you seeing that? That is the response to people who believe that you can buy your way into the church. If you read the history of the Catholic Church hundreds of years ago, and this is actually something that is documented, you can go and check it out yourself. The kind of atrocities. People were buying their way into certain heights. In fact, if you want, at some point, if you want to become the Pope, is how much money you can drop. You have to first sort out all the other guys that are there. And they see it as an investment scheme. Because they know that once they can raise the money, or sometimes they go and borrow from the king, once they are not the Pope, they will now raise offering. Or they will sell all that thing that they used to sell. But basically, tell things like, if you don't want to go to hell, or if you sin, no worry, just drop more money. They will clear your sins away for you. So they were making money. They were raking in so much money at that time, and they were doing all manner of atrocious things. In fact, at some point, the Vatican itself, they were holding parties, orgies, inside there. Why? Because of the love of money. Mammon entered into the heart of the church. And the truth is that if we are not careful, we are seeing it again today. Trust me. If we are not careful, we are seeing it again today. I remember growing up. My mom would give us 20 like 5. We'll give offering because she knows that they will raise at least 5 different offerings in that one service. So she will break it down. 2029, this was about 20 years ago. So then 29 was a huge amount of money. So we will break it like that. So our giving offering, he'll come so many times. There was one man that came to preach, I will never forget. The man came and said that if you want things to be easy in your life, come and buy my sweat. I'm telling you, the way I'm sweating like this, he called out, if you have, I know how to do, the first call like 2 million first. People will come, then 1 million, people will come. So as they're coming, he's cleaning his face and rubbing it in their hand, like that. Yeah. Why I never forgot is that my cousin that was sitting beside me too, when they brought the money down to like, say like 5K or something like that, she went out to go and buy sweat. Because that's what it is, you're buying sweat. And guess what? After she collected this sweat, she came up to the seat, rubbed her hand like this. I was very young then, but I knew that this thing don't make sense. This thing don't make sense now. Where did you ever see the apostle do something like that? And that's the danger of the materialistic gospel. It makes you king and God must do your bidding. That's what the materialistic gospel teaches. That, look, I am the center of it all and God is by the side. You know when you are doing who wants to be in millionaire, you say phone a friend. So I keep going on side. When I need God, Alpha God, come and do this for me. That is the materialistic gospel. The three Hebrew boys said, look, Nebuchadnezzar, this golden image you have made, we will not bow to it. He said, our God is able to save us from this. And even if he does not save us, we will die here. We will not bow. That tells you where your allegiance really is. Tells you where your allegiance really is. That look, God has my heart. Faith says, God has my heart. Money does not have my heart. Fame does not have my heart. Riches does not have my heart. No way. A man who subscribes to the materialistic spirit will eventually become a tool in the hand of darkness against God. Because my pastor said, a man who serves God for money will serve the devil for greater wages. Look, his soul is going to the highest bidder, whoever can drop the most money, or whoever can do it the most urgently for him. That's who he's going to be. That's who he's going to serve. And this is the doctrine of Balaam. Balaam was a prophet who knew God, actually, right? But King Balak hired him to come and curse the people of Israel, because Israel were passing through his kingdom, and he was afraid of them. He said, look, let me call someone to come and curse them, because he knew that he could not go out and fight them, because they were way more than him. So he called this prophet called Balaam to come and curse them. And Balaam came and he tried to curse them. He told them, build an altar. They did so many things. He said, no, you can't curse these people. He said, maybe the money I offered you was not enough. He increased the money. Balaam himself said, look, this money is not about the money. God has said that these people cannot be cursed. If I even went and asked God, imagine the spirit, he went and asked God, God, should I call these people? God said, why you? I've told you already. Don't go with these people. But he still went, told them again, build another altar. He tried again, he could not curse them. That's why that statement, surely there shall be no enchantment against Jacob and no divination against Israel. That was what he said when he tried to curse them and it did not work. But eventually they increased the money again. He looked at the money and said, this is irresistible. So he said, you know what? We can't curse them, but let's go through another method. He said, look, bring girls into their camp. When they see the fine girls like that, they will now... Let's really look at Revelation 2:14. He says, this was Jesus speaking, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. That was his recommendation. So they brought him in as somebody to come and do consultation. As for help us out, what should we do? And his fee was a lot of money. In fact, that's the conversion fee. Look at 2 Peter 2:15. Speaking about this same Balaam, he says, which have forsaken the right way. 2 Peter 2:15. Are you there? He says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Are you seeing that? Well, he knew the right thing to do, but he loved the wages of unrighteousness. So you must tell yourself that, no, I esteem God above money. You alone deserve my worship. You alone Jesus, my praise. God, you alone Jesus, the honor, so we lift you high. Yahweh, Yahweh, Lord, we lift you high. Lord, we lift you high, Yahweh, above every material possession. Oh Lord, I lift you high. Yahweh, I lift you high in my heart. Nothing else takes your place. I lift you high, Yahweh. Lord, I lift you high. One more time. Lord, I lift you high. Oh Lord, I lift you high. Lord God, God, God. Can you pray in the spirit for 1 minute? Just talk to God. If you can pray on that even better, say, Lord, you have the highest place in my heart. Nothing else can take your place. I'm about to round up, but I just want to pray this prayer in 1 minute. Kalima, Sivro Host, Seria Tapa. Oh, you won my heart, Jesus. It all belongs to you. Aleko Pale Komina Kadabalada. I'm not coming to church to get something through you. Oh, you command my highest possession. Oh, it all belongs to you, Jesus. I go say, go take it, take it, take it, take it, take it, take it, I lift you, I lift you high. Oh Lord, I lift you high. Oh Lord, I lift you high. Lord, I lift you high. So you must learn to tell yourself that, Lord, the most important thing in my life is my walk with God. Nothing else takes its place. There is no amount of possessions. Everything I have came from Him already. Everything I can ever get in this life belongs to Him. So it would come from Him. I love how David put it. Look at 1 Corinthians 29 from verse 11. He says, "Then, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty." He said, "For all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine, and thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted and head above all." He said, "Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is the power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." Are you seeing that? Look at what David knew from then. That it is in God's power to make great. So that greatness I'm looking for outside, elsewhere, no, it is the Lord. And trust me, He's looking for stewards. That He chose David, His servant. "Then I have found my servant who will do all that I have done, I've asked of him." So He's looking for stewards. Look at verse 13. He said, "But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come from thee, and of thine own have we given thee." Are you seeing that? Look, there is nothing you will give to God that He has not given to you already. It all belongs to Him. Even your life belongs to Him. He said, "And that He died for all, that they would live, should henceforth not live to themselves, but for unto Him that died for them and rose again." So the light of heaven belongs to you in the first place. So why act like it does? Please be seated. Let me just round up. How do we dismantle mammon? There are 4 points here, but of course I can't go through all 4, so I'll just take one. But I'll list all 4 for you, and on Wednesday we'll continue. How do we dismantle mammon? Number 1, true spirituality. True spirituality. Number 2, learning contentment. I'll explain number 1, but let me just list all 4. Number 2, learning contentment. Number 3, practicing generosity. And number 4, godly examples of purpose and prosperity. I'll take it again. Number 1 is true spirituality. Number 2 is learning contentment. Now, truth, right there is T-R-U-E, not T-H-R-O-U-G-H. T-R-U-E, so true spirituality, because there's false spirituality. Number 2 is learning contentment. Number 3 is practicing generosity. And number 4 is godly examples of purpose and prosperity. Now, for true spirituality, like it says, money has a grip on men when God hasn't been given His rightful place in their hearts. When you truly encounter the glory of God, every other thing fades away. Every other thing fades away. I remember a point in my life a few years ago when I was pressing into God and it felt like everything else is a distraction. How many of you are here where maybe you work or you are schooling or you are doing something else? Maybe you are having devotion, but you have to still stop at some point and go and do something else. But you just feel like, no, I want to just stay here all through. I wish I could just spend the whole day here. Look, that's how I feel almost every day. Like, you must get to the point where you genuinely love God's presence. You can't wait to spend time with Him. No matter the work I'm doing, I can't wait for 11 p.m. where I'll just go and just spend time with God. Like, I'll be there for hours. Nothing matters when you truly encounter the glory of God. I remember years back when, I was pressing into God. I just wanted to just give up my whole life to it. And I spoke with Pastor. Then I was in Lagos. I'm sure Pastor would have forgotten this by now. And I called him and said, Pastor, is it possible that church can just put me on like 150k salary per month? Let me just resign from my job and just be, let me just be praying and just pressing into God. I was saying, my brother, please don't resign. No. Taking back at it now, I'm happy he said that. But that just shows you how much desire you have when you truly encounter the glory of God. Nothing else matters. Trust me, nothing else matters. When you truly see Him, you bow your face down and say, no, I am undone. I am undone. Trust me, look, God is mighty. God is wonderful. God is greatly to be praised. And the thing that you cannot use money to replace God, it's mind-boggling. It cannot. Revelation 3 verse 14. Is it, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were hot or cold. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, but you know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Look at that. So in the physical, you feel like you are something because you have money. There's money in your bank account. You just feel, but in the spirit realm, God is telling you that you are poor and blind and miserable and wretched and naked. Oh my God. That shows that the way we see things is not how God sees it. That person you may be looking down on, but to x-ray him by the Spirit is carrying so much more weight than you. And look at what he says in verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. This is the admonition that Jesus is giving to you. Come and buy of me gold tried in the fire. That thing that you are chasing, trust me, it is secondary. What I have to give you is the real gold, is the real value. That thing that you made into a golden calf and you worshipped at the foot of the mountain, that is not the real gold. He said, come and buy of me gold tried in the fire. That is the real value. That's where you will feel the worth of it. As I close, 1 Timothy 6 verse 17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. You see, the reason we are doing this teaching is because we know that God is going to prosper many of us here. The pastor said it last week that God has told him that he's going to pastor billionaires. Many of them are in this service right now. And God is doing this to prepare our hearts so that when the money comes, you will not be high-minded. And your feet will still be on the ground. You can still come to church. You can still go out to go and evangelize. You can still have time for your Bible study. And you will not unconsciously begin to worship the money that He gave to you. Can we rise to our feet? It all belongs to you. Oh, oh, it all belongs to you. It all belongs to you. Oh, 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 it all belongs to you. And we sing that song. Say it all belongs to you.
It all belongs to you.
My life, my heart, everything I possess, it was given to me by you in the first place.